Thank you, Monis, for the privilege of actually allowing me to share a message today. Thank you that we can submit under you as you submit under Christ. Quickly something about myself. I was born Cape Town, come from the rural area, or from the farmlands, and then I studied at Stellenbosch, studied geology, and then I went to Angola to work, and now I'm here in Durban. So that's a short summary of who I am, and I love Jesus. I'm a geologist for Jesus. Okay. I saw Manus yesterday when we went to the beach just to quickly like run through the sermon to see that everything is right. And as we sat there on the sand, I took out about 5 pages that I'd written everywhere, and I just saw this man start laughing. So, but I'm doing it the old school way today with all the paper. So that's cool. Some of you guys might remember Ian Schneider. I spoke to him actually 2 days ago, and I asked him. He's a geologist as well. He was in this church. He's in Angola at the moment where he's working, where I used to work. And I asked him, are you preaching this weekend? And he said, yeah, no, he's preaching. So I said, okay, that's amazing. I'm also preaching this weekend. So last night he sent me his whole sermon. He said, please check this. So I read through it. It's actually quite good stuff. And, yeah, honestly, I don't know what you guys taught him, but he's doing really well on that side. So, two of us. It's crazy if you think a few years ago we were studying together at Stellenbosch, still doing some more things in the worldly aspect of life, and now today both of us are sharing a message. So if you want to preach one day, you must study geology. Okay, I actually want to tell you guys, do you know how privileged you are to be here today? Do you know how privileged we are to sit here and to have been filled with the Holy Spirit and to have received something that's life. There's a world out there, and I see it every day, that they've missed it completely, and they don't even know that they've missed it. So do you guys know how privileged you are that we've met the King, that we've got life, we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. I actually just want to remind you guys, because we tend to lose focus of that sometimes. We've got the living King inside of us, so we're privileged to be here today and to meet in this place. And something else felt is it might not always look like it's looking today. Things will change. The Bible talks about that. So we're really, really privileged to be here today. I've become more and more aware of God's presence of lately, even today as well. But the fact that God's everywhere, He's all around us. His Spirit is within us, and He's like, there's a very fancy English word. It's called omnipresence. He's everywhere. He's all around us. And for long, I was illusioned by the fact that I thought I always have to pray as some kind of activation prayer to get God to be there. But it's not. God can't be more God than He's God. He is God. Sometimes we just need to learn to be present, and we need to learn to actually focus ourselves and align our hearts in that place. So one way how we align ourselves is through worship, and we've been privileged to have an amazing band that's blessed and gifted above that they know yet. But another place is also stepping just into agreement. I'm Amanzi. Mnandi. Okay, my Zulu's improving. Okay, sure, this is very serious today, but I'll work in a joke here and there. But we are serious. God is serious. So Matthew 18:19 talks about, I also tell you this, and this is Jesus speaking Himself, teaching His disciples. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, My Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as My followers, I am there among them. Okay, so I'll somewhere here. When Fred's words saying, can we agree on something this morning? He usually uses those words. So I just want to say, can we agree that we're here today for God's glory, for His purpose, for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? That's why we're here this morning. Not for ourselves, we're here for the King, Nkosi. Okay, all right, let's just pray. Father, thank you for this privilege of standing here this morning, Father. You know my heart, Father. You know that I live, Father, just for your glory, Father, and for your pleasure, Father. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto thee. And Father, I pray, Father, that I want to thank you that we can stand in agreement, Father, that you are our Father, Father, and that your kingdom will come, Father, here on earth as it is in heaven, Father, and you provide us our daily bread, Father, and you give us grace to forgive those who trespass against us, Father, and we can stand in that agreement and that alignment this morning. We pray it in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I've got it on the heart to share three scriptures with you guys this morning, but it's a scripture, but it's also something that's been just part of my life. So, and you guys will probably know them, and it's amazing because I think Duquesne actually touched on the first one. So Duquesne, thank you for your obedience this morning. And when I was preparing, I prayed a lot for what I'm going to share today. The guy staying with me will know that door was locked quite a few times, and when someone opened it there, especially Rudolph, he knows he should not come in now. He even made me a meal while I was preparing there, which is amazing. But something the Lord put on my heart is I must share something from my life, something that's real, something from who I am, but not who I am because of myself, who I am because of God and because I've devoted myself to following Him. And it's something sometimes difficult to share because I had to go into a whole questioning phase of who am I? Why am I standing here today? Why am I living the life that I'm living? What does God really mean to me? So for me, it was a more challenging process, almost preparing than standing here sharing it with you today. And I also felt, maybe this is just the bit of a crazy side of me, but I felt that I'm not allowed to really open my Bible to go and look for scriptures. I felt that the scriptures which God has embedded in my heart, in my spirit, those things I've memorized, read over and over, those are the ones I'm allowed to use. So I don't know how many times God's going to ask me to preach like that because I used quite a fair amount that I know. But I also want to challenge you guys to also start memorizing scripture and keep it close to your heart, keep it in your mind. There might be a time where the Bibles that we have here today or on our phones, we might not be able to access like we can do it now. Okay. So the first scripture I want to talk or share to us about today, Zechariah 4:6b, the ESV version. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I think we've heard this before. This has also been a lesson that I've learned so many times and continue to learn it still. But where the Lord of hosts speaks and he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I remember when whilst I was working in Angola, we worked there 10 weeks on, 3 weeks off. Sounds nicer than it is. But on one of the journeys coming back, I got to the airport in Johannesburg, and I saw Pastor Angus Buck in there. Maybe some of you guys are familiar with him. And I walked up to him, and I greeted him, and we talked a bit. And it was so nice. I didn't really know him in person. I know him through CIS and through the church, where I've met him. And then we talked a bit, and then he walked away. And as he walked away, I was looking at him, and then he turned around, and he looked at me, and he said, Zechariah 4, verse 6. And it was like quite a moment for me, and I went back and I read the scripture. So this is something that's always been close to my heart because I know there's something that elderly, fatherly man understands about the scripture. And I think as you get older and you realize you don't have the might and you don't have the power, you realize that it is only through the Holy Spirit. The challenge for us is this way is not a way known to man, for man only knows might and power. So trying to explain this to the world out there, it's difficult for them to grasp. Even for ourselves as believers, if we look through the scripture at worldly eyes, we're not going to understand. Even if we live life out of a place more focused on emotions and feelings, we're also not going to understand this unless our emotions and feelings are aligned with the Holy Spirit. So just that phrase is, for man only knows might and power, is for me quite important because I've just realized that the world doesn't really grasp this. They don't really understand this. One of the aspects that I've taken from the scriptures is discipline. If we learn to be disciplined, we will learn the art of doing it by God's Spirit, His way and His timing. And there's a scripture that immediately popped to my mind that I memorized in the past. It's Proverbs 16:32. It's easy to remember because 16 is half of 32. Okay, I'm just checking you guys are with me. All right, Don will always laugh, and he did laugh at that as well. Okay, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Okay, this is God's word. And just picture yourself in the olden days. In the olden days, cities were like the way the society was built up. So by saying better to have self-control, better to be disciplined in yourself than to conquer a city, is quite a powerful thing. For me in the past, coming back to how I had to deal with not acting through might and through power, I was a guy who liked sports. I liked rugby particularly. In rugby, you get two types of people. You get the fast and crazy ones, and then you get the big ones, like Duquesne. And Duquesne's actually both of them. But I was one of those crazy ones who always just ran everywhere, and I lead with my head, so I always put my head into all the contact situations, and I sustained a few concussions, probably about 7 after matric, and I had to stop doing all contact sport, which was for me very terrible. I actually had to stop after 5, and then I wasn't obedient, so I continued until I really had to stop. So in my own life, in my personal body, I had to actually learn that there are actually things that I cannot do anymore. There are things, small things these days, and I know God's going to heal me. I know this is only temperamental, but the stuff that God's taught me through this journey that I've taken with all these concussions and has been phenomenal, because I've learned myself that I cannot rely on might and power, even in the smallest of situations. And that's also what God asks of us. Talking about the part of the spirit, I recently was in a situation, and I realized in that moment that in order to continue, I could do something by myself. I knew I could do it, and it would probably work out, but I knew that there was also a space where I could stand back and let the Holy Spirit actually come and establish what He wants to establish. And that's something that I know that some of us also, we get that notion that what we're doing now is going to be out of our own action. And we hear the Holy Spirit voice, we hear the Lord of hosts speaking, but we don't always listen. So I want to challenge or encourage you guys, take the boldness and listen to that voice. There's a very special lady, almost like a second mother in Cape Town, that told me the words once. If you initiate and bring to pass something, you have to also keep and maintain it. But if you allow God to come and establish something, He will also maintain it. So that's been something that stuck with me for so long, and maybe that's for someone today as well. Not by might, not nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But then God comes through His prophet Joel, and He gives us a promise. And I want to read us from Acts 2, verses 17 to 21. So He says, only by His spirit, but in the last days, from verse 17, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord has poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost and is continuing to pour out His Spirit. And the Lord is also saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. So we need to let the Lord, we need to allow the Lord of hosts to operate through His Spirit in our lives. There's something that Moses understood of this. And I read a bit in Exodus yesterday, and Moses was also the journey that he had with the Israelites. He had a lot of patience as well. But there's one part where he speaks to God, and he says, Exodus 35:15, and He said to Him, if Your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Taking that stand, saying, Lord, if You're not coming with me, if Your Spirit is not with this, if it's not Your will for this, I'm not going with these people. I'm not going. In the Scripture, we sometimes still portray this not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. We still portray it as an option. We still see the might and the power as an option, where actually it's actually not an option if the Lord of hosts is giving you a statement like that. And then there's one clause to it as well that I also just want to bring in. This doesn't, and this I've learned in my life and I've seen it in some people's lives, this doesn't allow us to say, just now stand back and do nothing and say, okay, no might, no power, so I'm just not going to wait. No, when the Lord of hosts moves, there is definitely might and power involved. However, the difference is, it's not initiated through oneself, but it's initiated through the Spirit. When the Israelites moved out of Egypt, there was definitely might and power involved. No one could argue how good and how great God was in that moment. But God initiated it. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Second scripture that I follow my heart to share with you guys, Psalm 46:10. You're probably familiar with it. Be still and know that I am God. For me, that's a two-part scripture, and we often look at the first part and forsake the second, but the latter part says, and know that I am God. There's a part in knowing, or in knowing God, that actually requires of you to spend diligent time in God's presence, to get to know Him. Okay? I actually want to go and take it a step further. We actually need to be still in our diligent time of getting to know God in His presence. Okay? Time in God's presence, and I know Marichin on the previous sermon also said it, we need to read the Word, we need to read the Word. It's so, so important. With reading the Word, I journal as well. That's something that as the Lord speaks to me, I write it down, and I always encourage people to do it. And there are those that say, no, I remember what God says, what God tells me. That's sharp, 100%. But if I ask you in 6 months' time what God told you that day, are you going to remember? So this is just my view on it, and it's something that's worked for me. I can just encourage you guys to, if God speaks to you, write it down. Make a note of it. In due time, set out time to reflect back on what God told you in knowing more of Him. There's a knowing that God is God that allows us to be still and to stand. So there's a part in that knowing that actually enables us to do the first part of the scripture that says, be still. I'm referring a lot back to Angola, but this is basically my life story. So, but there's something about nature that understands the scripture, about being still. And I remember in Angola, often we would go into the bush and we go into like unknown areas, just take the cruiser and I'd have to go and drive. And then sometimes I'd stop at a place and I'll just put off the car and I'll just listen to what is around me. That stillness, but also those birds. And it would just portray something of the scripture, of being still and knowing that God is God. And at night when I used to go and walk from my tent to the shower container, as I'm walking, it was always the skies above you with all the stars. And there's no other light really there, so it's the stars are quite bright and beautiful. Not like in the city where it's difficult to get the big picture, but there as I'm walking with my towel going to the shower, then there was one scripture, Psalm 19, that always came up to me, which was so amazing, and I used to just say it as I walked to the shower. And it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak, night after night they make Him known. They neither speak nor sound nor word, their voices is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, their words to all the world. So there's something about nature that realizes the majesty, the majesticness of God, and that just declares that in stillness without using a sound or a word. So we can actually follow nature's example in being still and knowing that God is God. The last scripture that I want to share with you guys is, it's about fear of the Lord. And this is something I've got quite close to my heart, and it's something real that I live my life by. Proverbs 14:27, fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers us escape from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers us escapes from the snares of death. And I sometimes have to ask myself the question, do I have a holy reverence for a God that's so mighty that he came to establish this world, this creation in one moment and can also take it away in one moment? When I speak of God, about him, to him, do I have that holy reverence when I think of God, when I read scripture, in my everyday life, when I hear people speak about him? Is there that fear of God that's settled in my heart? And I also always have to remind myself of that. And someone, I think it's actually Manus who mentioned this when I just came to Durban, because it is a bit of a Durban surf example. But it's the ocean. It's such a beautiful way to explain the fear of God. Everyone loves the ocean. They love to go there on a Saturday when it's sunny, and some of us like to crayfish, some of us like to spearfish, or some of us just like fish. And it's just, we all love the ocean and we love being there, but we have a respect for the power and for the depth of the ocean. We know what it is. So that's such a beautiful picture for me to understand also the fear of God. It's knowing that I can be there and play on that sand, and I can be there and enjoy myself, but I must remember one thing, how powerful that ocean is, and respect it for what it is. The fear of the Lord and having a holy respect towards God has helped me with three things in my life. It's helped me to retain perspective. The fear of God gives a sense of stability in times when situations around you want to dictate your emotions and show you that something is actually bigger than it is. But if we have a fear of God, we know that he's powerful, he's omnipresent, he's big. And it just always puts you back into perspective as to where you're dealing at the moment and where you're going. So retain perspective, the first one. The second one, remain teachable. Okay, teachable is a beautiful thing, and I always challenge myself to remain teachable and those around me as well. Because God doesn't teach people who don't have a fear for him, which is a big thing that I had to realize the other day. And asking myself the question, should we teach people that don't have fear for God? We should always preach the gospel at them, and we should tell them, show them the love of Jesus. But I think sometimes we're teaching people that don't have a fear of God. So remain teachable. Fear of God just always reminds me to remain teachable. Lastly, remain humble. Two scriptures, the meek will inherit the earth, and God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We say that scripture easily, but in resisting, I don't think there's something that we really grasp about it. Manus, I don't know if you can come and stand in front here. I just want to illustrate something quickly what resisting is. Can you walk from that side past me? Okay? So this is resisting someone, said he can't get through. Okay? You don't want God to do that to you. Okay? Thank you, Manus. You can sit. Now I'm not going to ask him, because then it might not work, the example. So there's something in remaining humble that comes out of a fear of the Lord that's very, very important in our lives. And a holy fear of God helps me to be still and to know that God is God. And a holy fear of God helps me to understand that it's not by might and it's not by power, but by God's Spirit. Okay. All right. Donnie can come forward to lead us in, or to start playing a bit. This is what I had on my heart for us today. And I think we can actually just all stand. So I just want to summarize for us a bit about what I said now. I think it's a choice that we have to make to live by the Spirit, and to say and discipline ourselves and say that it's not by might and it's not by power. And it's something we're going to have to train ourselves in. But it's something that God is faithful, because he's given us his Spirit. And he is there with us to enable us. And there's a part in being still which we're going to have to train ourselves in knowing God in order to make us able to be still. And out of that stillness flows something so beautiful. Out of that knowing God and being still flows a peace in our lives. And that peace in our lives is something that I've lived my life by. But I also had to fight for it. And I also had to put an effort from my side. But I can tell you guys that I've never found more peace in my life than with Jesus and with the cross and with his word. There's nothing that I've done in the past. There were momentary pleasures that are amazing. I'm not going to lie. There are substances and things and activities that are in that moment amazing. But after that, they did. And they take you nowhere. And they just take you down. And some of them come and nick onto you and they stay there for long, for long. So it's not worth it. There's a peace that is only found in Jesus and in the blood of Jesus that is strong. And that's going to keep us safe going forward. But the problem is you can't know and experience unpeace if you don't know what peace is. Okay? So often people come and say they've got unpeace, but I want to ask you, do you really have peace in your heart? Have you worked for that? Have you stood in faith for that as well? And then the fear of God. There are people who's losing the fear of God. We take it for granted. We take it for granted that we serve an almighty king, that we serve a holy king. And one day we're going to stand before Jesus in his throne room, before God. And he's going to look us straight in the eyes. And he's going to ask you, what have you done with the blood of my son? What have you done with what I've placed in your heart? What have you done with what I've showed you? What have you done with what I've entrusted unto you? And that's something, as I was driving to church, I actually realized that that's actually the most important part of what I need to ask today, because the Lord's put that on my heart quite some time ago. I need to ask you guys, I need to ask myself, if you're a pastor, if you're the worship leader, if you're the guy doing the sound, it doesn't matter. You're going to stand before God one day. He's going to look at you and he's going to ask you, what have you done with the blood of my son? What have you done with my word? So I actually want to challenge you guys and actually ask, if there's anyone of you today that realizing in this moment that what you've done with Jesus' blood and what you've done in your life is not in line to where you want God to use you. If you realize that there's something missing, that if you were to walk out here today and it were to be your last, not that it's a classic line that I want to use, but if you were to today stand before God and he were to ask you that question, what have you done with my blood? What would you answer him? What would you answer him? And yes, the people who we've led to Christ and discipled, they will probably stand behind us, because scripture also talks about the reward, and that will be there, but you're going to stand there on your own.